One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Ever find yourself walking into a place that just feels wrong? Like the walls are watching you, the air is just a little too heavy, and every creak of the floorboard sounds like someone or something just behind you? Yeah, I've had that feeling. And trust me, it usually means two things. One, you're not welcome there. And two, you probably shouldn't have come. I'm Tony Bruschi, and today we're diving into a story that starts with a seemingly harmless school legend, but ends in the kind of nightmare that keeps people awake at 3 a.m. questioning their sanity. Our storyteller is Jack Marlowe, a journalist who thought the ghosts of Willowcrest Academy were nothing more than quaint folklore. The kind that every old boarding school collects like dust on the windowsills. But Jack was wrong. Dead wrong. Now I know what you're thinking. Another ghost story? How different can it be? Well, let me ask you this. If you were alone in a room late at night and heard your name whispered from an empty hallway, would you shrug it off? Or would that tiny, irrational voice in your head start wondering if maybe you're not alone after all? And here's the kicker. What if, in peeling back the layers of an old school's history, you uncovered something more than ghost stories? What if you found proof that the line between the living and the dead isn't just thin? It's non-existent. Yeah, that's exactly the mess Jack Marlowe stepped into. And as you'll hear in his own words, once you start digging into places like Willowcrest Academy, you'd better be prepared for what's digging back. Grab a drink, sit tight, and get ready to question everything you think you know about ghosts, hauntings, and what waits for us in the dark. Let's get into it. Dear Tony, I hope you're sitting down because this story is going to take you places you won't believe. And to be honest, I still don't know if I believe it myself. You've heard a lot of strange things over the years, but what I went through at Willowcrest Academy, it makes me question everything I thought I knew about what's real and what's just a bad dream. It all started out simple enough. I got an assignment to write a piece on the school's 100th anniversary. Seemed like a good gig. Travel to a sleepy New England town, chat with some alumni, and churn out a few thousand words about old school traditions and spooky rumors. You know the type, stories about a bell that rings on its own, weird smells in the dormitories, and headmasters who never seem to leave even after death. When I first arrived, the place felt off. Not in an obvious, runaway, screaming kind of way, but something about the academy's atmosphere just didn't sit right with me. It was too quiet, too still. And the students? Polite, sure. But there was this undercurrent of unease, like everyone knew something I didn't, and they were all too scared to talk about it. I started with the basics, interviews with faculty and a few senior students. They all told me the same stories. There's a legend about a headmistress named Eugenia Fallow who supposedly hanged herself in the bell tower after a scandal with one of the students. No one's ever seen a death certificate, but that hasn't stopped people from claiming they've seen her ghost roaming the halls. There's the seat in the auditorium that refuses to stay bolted down no matter how many times it's fixed. and the most ominous of them all, an old bell that rings without warning. Every time it does, someone on campus dies within 24 hours. And then, at first, I figured these stories were just part of the school's charm, tales passed down to scare freshmen or give alumni something to talk about at reunions. But the more people I spoke with, the more I started to notice something odd. Everyone from the headmaster to the janitors gave me the same warning. Don't go into the chapel alone. I didn't think much of it at first. I've heard my share of ghost stories, and they usually don't come with rules. But the way they said it, Tony, it was like they meant it. One afternoon, I was poking around the library when I stumbled across a collection of old blueprints tucked away in a dusty corner. They were the original plans for the school, drawn up by a man named Edward Gilman. What caught my eye were the notes scrawled along the margins, strange symbols, Latin phrases, and references to rooms beneath rooms. I asked the librarian if she knew anything about Gilman, and she gave me this strange look, almost like she pitied me. "You'd better leave well enough alone," she said. Of course, I didn't listen. That night, armed with a flashlight and a stolen map, I made my way to the chapel. The place was even creepier in the dark. The air inside felt thick, like breathing through wet wool, and the faint scent of candle wax and old flowers hung in the air. I found the hidden door exactly where the blueprints said it would be, right behind the altar. It was smaller than I expected, barely wide enough to squeeze through. And behind it, a staircase spiraling down into the earth. Now this is where things start getting weird, Tony. As I descended, the air grew colder, and the smell of decay became overwhelming. The stairs led to a small, forgotten office filled with crumbling books and yellowed papers. It looked like no one had set foot in that room for decades. And there, sitting in the center of the desk, was a ledger. Inside were names, dates, and causes of death. Most were labeled accidents or illness, but there were three entries that stood out. Each one was a student. Each one died under mysterious circumstances, and every one of them had died the day after the bell rang. And I should have left right then and there, but something kept me rooted to the spot, a feeling like I was being watched. I flipped through the pages until I found the last entry. It was dated almost 50 years ago. The student's name had been crossed out in thick, angry ink. Below it, someone had scrawled three words: "Never forget Eugenia." The hair on the back of my neck stood up. I turned to leave, and that's when I heard it. A faint, metallic clang, like the toll of a distant bell. I tried to tell myself it was just the wind, maybe a pipe groaning somewhere in the walls, but deep down I knew better. That sound didn't come from the wind. It came from the bell tower, an old, rusted thing that hadn't rung in decades. Or at least, that's what they told me. And by the time I made it back to my room, my hands were shaking so badly I could barely get the key in the lock. I spent the rest of the night staring at the ceiling, waiting for something, anything, to happen. But the hours dragged by in silence, and by morning, I started convincing myself it had all been in my head. Maybe I'd let the ghost stories get under my skin. Then I found the map on my desk, the same map I'd taken from the library the day before, only now it was different. Someone had drawn a new circle on it, right over my room. I don't know how it got there. I didn't sleep, didn't leave my room, and no one had a key but me. But there it was, as plain as day, a perfect red circle like a target. And Tony, that's when I knew I was in trouble. The next morning, I decided I had two choices: pack up and leave Willowcrest for good, or figure out what the hell was going on. Something about that red circle on the map felt personal, like the school itself had marked me. I couldn't just walk away without answers, even if every instinct I had screamed at me to get out. I spent the day hunting for clues, but no one would talk. The students avoided eye contact, and the staff acted like I wasn't even there. It was as if the school had silently turned against me, and the more I pressed, the deeper I felt myself sinking into a swamp of dread. Late that evening, I made the mistake of returning to the chapel. I don't know what I was hoping to find, maybe some hidden message or a clue in the old books I'd seen. Instead, I found the door behind the altar wide open, as if someone or something was waiting for me. Against all better judgment, I went down the stairs again. The air was colder than before, and the smell of decay hit me like a punch to the gut. This time I wasn't alone. I could hear it, footsteps, slow and deliberate, circling just out of sight. And then, out of the darkness, I heard a voice clear as day. "Why did you come back?" It wasn't an angry voice, Tony. It was worse. It sounded curious. I bolted up the stairs, heart pounding, and slammed the door behind me. As I turned to run, the chapel bells rang again. Three slow, heavy tolls. That's when I realized the truth. The bells weren't just some creepy folklore. They were a warning, and someone, maybe me, was running out of time. Back in my room, I found something new waiting for me. A letter. It wasn't addressed to me, though. It was addressed to Eugenia Fallow. The ink was smeared and the paper was brittle with age, but the message was clear. "We know what you did. You'll never be free." The walls felt like they were closing in. I knew the headmistress had been involved in something terrible, but what? And why did the spirit seem intent on dragging me into it? Every story I'd heard about Willowcrest now felt like pieces of a puzzle, all leading back to the same place, the bell tower. I had to know the truth. Just before midnight, I crept across the campus and climbed the rickety stairs to the bell tower. The whole way up, I felt that same unsettling presence, like someone was following just a step behind me. When I reached the top, I found the old bell, its metal tarnished and cracked. But that wasn't all I found. There, tied to the bell's clapper, was a rope. And at the end of that rope was a noose. A chill ran down my spine as I realized what I was looking at. This was where Eugenia Fallow had ended her life, or at least where the story said she did. But something about the setup felt wrong. This wasn't just a suicide, it was a ritual. And then I saw it. Scratched into the wall behind the bell were three words: ring. Her. Free. Tony. I don't know what came over me, but I grabbed the rope and pulled. The bell let out a deafening clang, louder than anything I'd ever heard. The vibrations rattled the tower, and for a moment I thought the whole thing was going to come crashing down. And then everything went silent. That's when I saw her, Eugenia Fallow, standing just a few feet away, her face twisted in sorrow and rage. But she wasn't alone. Behind her stood three shadowy figures, their faces blurred and distorted, like they didn't belong in this world anymore. They stared at me, silent and waiting. In that moment, I understood. The ritual had trapped them here, Eugenia and the three students. The bell wasn't just a warning, it was the key to setting them free. But the price? That was still unclear. I backed away, heart racing, and as I did, the bell began to toll again on its own. One, two, three times! I ran down the stairs, feeling those unseen presences trailing me, their cold breath on the back of my neck. When I reached the ground, I looked back at the tower. The bell was still ringing, but there was no one up there. And then, in the faint light of the moon, I saw something that made my blood run cold. My own name scratched into the stone wall, right beneath Eugenia's. I knew then that I wasn't just another curious journalist poking around in old ghost stories. I was part of it now, woven into the fabric of the curse that haunted Willowcrest. I left the next morning. I didn't say goodbye to anyone. I didn't need to. They knew, and so did I. But here's the thing, Tony. Even after I drove away, even after I crossed the state line and put miles between me and that cursed place, I can still hear the bell. It rings in the back of my mind, slow and deliberate, like a countdown. And every time it rings, I wonder, when is it going to stop? And when it does, what happens next? I don't know if you'll believe any of this, Tony. Honestly, I'm not sure I believe it myself, but I had to tell someone. Because if that bell ever stops ringing, well, let's just say, I hope I'm not around to find out what's waiting on the other side. Take care, Tony. And if you ever hear a bell ringing, no matter where you are, run. Sincerely, Jack Marlowe. Well, there you have it. Jack Marlowe's letter, one part investigation, two parts nightmare, and all of it marinated in just enough crazy to keep me up tonight. You know, stories like this have a way of getting under your skin. Was it all in Jack's head? Could be. I mean, we've seen it before. Stress, sleep deprivation, a little confirmation bias, and suddenly every sound in the night becomes a ghost dragging its chains. Maybe Jack's mind took a few too many wrong turns down the rabbit hole. Maybe that school, with its long shadows and tragic history, fed his imagination just the right amount of fuel to spark a wildfire. There's also the possibility that this was less about ghosts and more about guilt. You find a place with a history of secrets, rituals gone wrong, deaths that never got the justice they deserved, and those emotions tend to stick. Could Jack have been dealing with the psychological weight of knowing too much? Did the fear of what he uncovered start bleeding into his reality, making him see things that weren't really there? Happens more than you'd think, but I can't shake the feeling that maybe, just maybe, this story is exactly what it seems. What if that bell really is cursed? A tether between two worlds ringing out whenever something old and angry wakes up. And the way Jack's name appeared in the tower, scratched there, waiting for him, like some cosmic check-in sheet. Well, that's a hard one to explain away with logic, isn't it? I mean, I'm not saying ghosts are real, but I'm also not saying they aren't. And I have to wonder, what if this isn't over? What if even now Jack Marlowe is hearing the toll of that bell, getting louder with every passing day, waiting for the final ring? Or worse, what if you, listening to this story, start hearing it too? I'm Tony Broski, and if I've learned anything from stories like this, it's that some mysteries are best left unsolved. So if you ever find yourself drawn to an old school, a crumbling chapel, or a bell tower that hasn't rung in years, do yourself a favor. Don't go looking for answers. Because sometimes when you dig too deep, you end up finding exactly what you were afraid of. And here's a question to leave you with. If the bell does toll for you, would you even know it in time to run? I'll see you next time. Stay curious, stay safe, and try to keep out of the shadows.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Broski.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.